Well, the prophet Elijah is a rock star. Not only is he a tough, no-holds-barred kind of prophet, but he's also kind of sassy. And he's filled with huge amounts of faith and a sincere trust in God, but he still expresses his doubts. He's bold and stands up to the bullies of his time, but even after doing so, he gets scared and runs away. He's worthy of our admiration, but he is not one of those biblical characters that seems too holy or too unattainable. He's a real person. He seems like he would fit in right here with us at the Presbyterian Church. I really admire Elijah, and the story that we read today of him challenging the prophets of Baal to a contest only makes him that much cooler in my book. Because not only is it an amazing story about Elijah's faith and God's actions, it's pretty funny too. The narrator of the story seems to understand the humor and absurdity of it all, sharing Elijah's wisecracks along the way. When the Baals don't answer, Elijah openly mocks them, suggesting that maybe they're on vacation or asleep or even busy in the bathroom. That's true, that's what the Hebrew says. Elijah does not back down with his insults. When the Baals don't answer, Elijah goes to extremes to prove the power of Yahweh, dousing the sacrifice with water 3 times. Elijah clearly has no faith in the gods of Baal. He doesn't think for 1 second that they will respond. Elijah is certain of his God, and his faith shows no weakness. So Elijah is a strong prophet and someone we would expect to have a great deal of faith. But then we turn to the Gospel of Luke and read another story of someone who was also filled with an amount of faith. But unlike Elijah, we would never in a million years expect this Roman centurion to have the same kind of faith. For one, he was a Gentile. But not only that, he was working for Herod, commanding his troops and collecting taxes and keeping order. As far as faith goes, we wouldn't expect much from this man. Yet even though he is a Gentile, an outsider of the Jewish faith, the gospel tells us that he has gained favor with the Jews and found friendship with them, and that he even went so far as to pay for the construction of the synagogue. It's obvious that even though he may not be Jewish himself, he has a great deal of respect for them and holds them in high regard. And so when his beloved slave gets deathly ill, he immediately turns to his Jewish friends, hoping against hope that they can intercede on his behalf with Jesus. Here's a man who doesn't share anything in common with the Jews, yet he knows that Jesus is powerful. He knows that if he can just get a message to him, his slave will be healed. And so his friends lovingly act on his behalf, begging Jesus to come and heal the slave. And Jesus listens, and Jesus goes. But before he even makes it, the centurion sends more friends, telling Jesus that he's not worthy to have him under his roof. He knows that all Jesus has to do is say the word, and his slave will be healed. Jesus is astounded at this man's faith, and immediately the slave is healed. 2 stories of God answering, 2 main characters with not much in common other than faith. Faith that God will act, faith that Jesus will heal, faith that God is in control. Both know the power of God, and both expect God to use that power to answer their prayers. Now, I don't know about you, but like Jesus, I'm astounded at their faith. Not at the fact that they have faith necessarily, or that they believe that God can answer their prayers. I'm astounded at the fact that they expect God will answer their prayers. To me, those 2 things are very different. Believing that God can heal our loved one's cancer is different from believing that God will heal them. Believing that God can provide a new job is different from believing that God will make the way clear. Believing that God can mend our strained relationships is different than believing that God will bring restoration. As people of faith, it's relatively easy for us to say that we have faith that God can answer our prayers. As Christians who profess a Reformed version of faith, one of our biggest tenets is that God is all-powerful, that God is the creator of the universe, and that all that is, seen and unseen, is under God's purview. God can do whatever God wants, and God will do whatever God wants. It's God's world, after all. So it's really not much of a stretch for us to say that we believe God can. But believing that God will requires a different side of faith. Believing that God will is a bit more risky. If we only believe that God can, then when God doesn't, our faith isn't necessarily shaken. We might just chalk it up to God not wanting to do it, or it not being part of God's plan, or maybe our inability to see the whole picture. But when we move from believing that God can to believing that God will, there's a bit more required of us. No longer is our faith passive. Now we have to put a little more skin in the game. Because now if God does not do it, we feel foolish for believing and having faith. We might feel duped, or that God doesn't listen to us, that God doesn't really care about us or our needs. It takes a lot more risk and emotional investment in our relationship with God to trust and believe that God will answer our prayers. I don't know about you, but I can't even count the number of times that I've prayed for something without really believing that God would actually answer my prayer, especially in the way that I wanted God to. Yet time and time again, I have seen the proof of answered prayer in my life. Sometimes answered in the way I want, but usually the answers come in a way I would never expect. Now, some of you might have heard me tell this story before, but there's one answered prayer in particular that always sticks out in my mind. It was spring of my junior year, my spring semester of college, and I was preparing to take my final exams when I got the call from my mom that my grandmother had passed away and that we would be making the trip to Kansas for her funeral. I scrambled to contact all of my professors and make arrangements to turn in my final papers and exams, rescheduling what I could. But there was one in particular that I was most concerned about. For one, Dr. Orm was a stodgy Brit with a reputation for being a bit of a maverick. I enjoyed his immunology class that semester, but was very intimidated by him. I was sure there was no way he would allow me to take the final after I got back, and with only a day before I had to leave, I figured he would make me take the exam before I left, leaving me only hours to study. And not only was there a lot of material to cover, but this exam was the entirety of my grade for the whole semester. No papers, no projects, not even a midterm, just this one test over an entire semester's knowledge about the human immune response. So after working up enough courage, I cautiously entered Dr. Orm's office and meekly told him my situation. Much to my surprise, he offered his condolences and graciously told me to come back in at my convenience when I returned. Prayer number one answered. With that, I called my study partner, Sarah, to tell her I wouldn't be able to attend our study group that night and let her know I wouldn't be taking the final with her. To my surprise, she replied, "Oh, good. Well, I'll take the final on Friday and then call you and tell you what's on the test." In that moment, I didn't know how to respond. I certainly didn't want to cheat, and I had no intention of gaining an unfair advantage for the test. And what she was offering to me was unethical, but I froze, and I didn't know what to say. So I mumbled something vague about calling her when I got back and hoped that she would forget and not call me while I was away. I remember immediately saying a quick prayer, begging God to help me find a way out of this. The conversation with Sarah weighed heavily on my heart the entire time I was away. My prayer was constantly that somehow, some way, God would help me find a way not to cheat. So after returning from the final, I set up a time with Dr. Orm to come in and take the exam. And I knew that I had to call Sarah back because she was waiting my return. So with a stomach full of butterflies, I dialed her number. She answered, and after a couple of minutes of small talk, she said, "Well, guess what? I'll be taking the immunology final with you." I said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, you'll never believe it, but I was so sick on Friday. I came down with a terrible stomach bug, and I couldn't take the test." I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. I think I sat there in stunned silence for about 10 seconds as I realized God indeed had heard my prayer, and God answered in a way I never would have expected. And to this day, I still feel slightly responsible and a little bit bad about her sickness. Now, this is a bit of a silly story, and I certainly don't think God zapped her with a stomach bug, but it did teach me to have faith, and it taught me that God does answer prayer. And thank God that God answers prayer, because when we experience that grace, we're reminded that we're not alone. We're reminded that we have a God who knows us and cares for us. We're reminded that our God wants to be in relationship with us. Prayer and faith go hand in hand. So when we pray, we should expect that something will come of it. But is it fair to expect that our prayers will be answered in the exact way we want them to? Perhaps. But maybe even more importantly, we are called to simply have faith that God will respond, even if we know it might look different from what we expect. So when we ask for healing for a loved one's cancer, we can expect that we will see healing. But it might not come with the healing of the cancer itself. Instead, we might see healing in the form of a community rallying around us with fundraisers, or support from our coworkers allowing us a little extra time away with our loved one. Or maybe even the whole town will come out to honor a princess with a parade downtown. God provides healing in different ways. Or when we ask for a new job, we might not actually land our new dream job. Instead, we might be given a new volunteer opportunity or find new ways to challenge ourselves within our current job. Or we might find ourselves mentoring a younger colleague, sharing our time, knowledge, and experience. When we ask for help with a challenging situation, God might not provide a way out so much as a way through. When we pray for our enemies, God might not change them, but instead change us. Seeing God's answers to our prayer in our world allows us to move from knowing that God can to believing that God will. Because even though I look up to Elijah and the Roman centurion and the fact that they were certain God would act on their behalf, I don't know that even they believed God would give them exactly what they wanted. I think the strength of their faith comes not from the fact that they expected God to answer their prayer in the way they wanted, but in the fact that they were certain God would respond. They had faith that God would act, that God would be present with them in their situation, that God would have the last word. God promises to be with us through all life's joys and sorrows, and to hear us when we pray. As people of faith, we know God can, but we also believe that God will. So may we have eyes to see answered prayers and ears to hear God's whispers in our world. And may we be open enough to receive the answers even when they come in unexpected ways. For indeed the Lord is God, and indeed our Lord is good. Thanks be to God. Amen.